Here we go. Unit 1, Lesson 5. I'm on page 24, and it's time for Jesus' message. The stage is set. The way has been prepared. Jesus, the Messiah, has a message he will preach. So go to the top of page 25, and I think maybe you, the leader, should list all of the places and then ask which is mentioned most. So, ladies, you saw at the top of page 25 that you were to list every geographical location that Matthew named, and then note which region is mentioned the most often. So, we have Galilee, Nazareth, Capernaum, Zebulun, Naphtali, then the area beyond the Jordan, and the Sea of Galilee, and all over Galilee, and Syria. And that's verse 24, and I don't know if your Bibles would say Syria. I have the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and that's what it's named there. And then verse 25, Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So as you looked at all those places that were named, which was mentioned the most? They should all say Galilee. Let's answer the question then next. How is Galilee described in Matthew 4, 15 and 16? What does that verse tell us about Galilee? It is the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. It is along the sea road beyond the Jordan, and it's called Galilee of the Gentiles. You might also consider that it's called the shadow land of death, but I am not sure whether that phrase, shadow land of death, would just apply to like people living in darkness, the fact that they don't know God, so they're in darkness because of sin. That's what it really means. Okay, so Galilee is described, and then ask what. So the probably last phrase, or you see, this is Galilee of the Gentiles. This is the territory where the Gentiles lived. So what did you learn about Gentiles when you looked up the Greek word and definition and Bible dictionary notes? What is the Greek word? It is ethnos. I think it would be helpful, if you're not already doing this, to actually ask the question, what is the Greek word for Gentiles? What did you find? Because there's a specific word there that they can say. And then what is the Greek definition? I have that it is a race or a tribe. It's a people group that is non-Jewish. And therefore, by implication, it's a pagan people group. They are heathen. And in the Old Testament, the Gentiles were foreign nations not worshiping the one true God. And since Matthew is quoting the Old Testament and we're dealing with Jews and Gentiles, it is appropriate, it is right to understand this word Gentiles as meaning foreigners and those who don't worship the true God. They are pagans. And then in the Bible dictionary notes, I looked up in Easton's Bible Dictionary from Esword. It's the Hebrew word goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, in case that idea comes up. Sometimes it does. And it refers to all nations except Jews. Jewish people today would refer to us as goyim. And it is a derogatory term sometimes. It definitely was in the past what the Jews called all other people, goyim or Gentiles. It was definitely derogatory and contemptuous against anybody that was not a Jew. Okay, now with that understanding, what do you learn about salvation for Gentiles from the following verses? Isaiah 49:6 says that it was not enough for the servant, which is Jesus the Messiah, but it doesn't say it in that passage, doesn't have Jesus' name there. God considered it not enough for his servant to raise up and restore Israel, but God would make him, his servant, a light for the nations. And Isaiah is written in Hebrew there. The Hebrew word is goyim. So it is the word for nations that is in Isaiah is the same word for Gentiles. And maybe some of the Bible translations actually use it, that it would make him a light for the Gentiles. But see, that's what Matthew was also referring to. He is a light for the Gentiles. Okay, and the servant would be salvation to the ends of the earth. In Luke 2:30-32, Zechariah is speaking, and you might say that, and then say, what did he say? He said, my eyes have seen God's salvation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. So, wow, Zechariah, this Jewish priest, actually understood by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because this is prophecy now coming upon him, that Jesus, the one who is going to be born, would be revelation for the Gentiles, the people they don't even like, the Jews don't even like, the people that are not worshiping gods, those heathens, those derogatory guys. Jesus would be for him, and he would be for the glory of God's people Israel. That's great news. And then in Ephesians 2:11-13, Paul says, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called the uncircumcised by the circumcised. So the circumcised people are the Jewish people, Abraham, and on after Abraham, every Jew was circumcised. And so if you were not Jewish and you were Gentile, then you were uncircumcised. Okay. So what is your response to these truths about salvation for Gentiles? What impact did these truths about salvation for Gentiles have on you? And I just reflected that I was separate from Israel, but God sent Jesus to save me too, so that I would not be stuck out there as a pagan, as a despised person, and so that I would not be removed from his blessings. You definitely could think, or the Jews would have thought in the past, that the Jews were the haves and the Gentiles were the have-nots. So at the top of page 26, please highlight that we do need to understand that Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, proving that Jesus is their Messiah, but he was also writing to a Gentile audience. Matthew, a Jew, is writing to the Gentiles as well, which shows the transformation that the life of Christ has brought about in Matthew, that the power of the Holy Spirit has brought about in Matthew. This Jew, Matthew, is showing truth and love, not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles, the people he would have maybe hated before. And that just impressed God's great grace upon me and made me so thankful. All right, what was Jesus' message to the whole world according to Matthew 4:17? I would like you to ask that question, and I would like them to say, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. My talk is going to be about Jesus' message, repent. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Then skip down. You don't need to talk about the kingdom of heaven verses. You can say, we will talk about the kingdom of heaven more later on in our study. So we're going to skip these particular verses right now. Go down and tell us, how did you like that creative exercise? How did you summarize the call of the first disciples in Matthew 4:18-22? A headline, an article, and they will probably be slow to answer. So it's really fun. Some people will have done this and they'll do a good job and they won't think they've done a good job. But just say, does anybody have a headline that they would share? I mean, we want to hear what you had, you know, what kind of creative ideas you had. And it could be very basic, because that's fine too. I took a very secular, non-Christian outlook on this, almost like, hey, we don't even want to talk about anything spiritual here. And my headline is, fish prices rise due to the departure of local fishermen. That's what I did this time. I have a little paragraph that I will go ahead and read. No, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the handout of my little article. There's my house phone. I'm going to ignore that. At the bottom of page 26. At the bottom of page 26, it says, these are just ordinary men doing ordinary jobs, but then someone extraordinary walked by and gave them an offer they couldn't refuse. And the top of page 27, just go ahead and go right into that question. What was that offer? What was the brief command given by Jesus to the brothers? And perhaps in unison, they will all say, follow me. And then the next line, James Montgomery Boyce, he was a pastor, and he says these two words teach the following important truths: obedience, repentance, submission, trust, and perseverance. So ask that next question. Have you heard the call to follow Jesus? And you might pause for them to kind of nod, hopefully. And then ask, have you responded with your whole being as the first disciples did? And then, and you don't have to have much of a long pause there, but just keep going. Which, if any, of the important truths above is missing in your following of Jesus today? Just ask if ladies would be willing to share how they're following Jesus, or what this question might have prompted in their thoughts and what their responses were. And then you probably should just skip the next question at the bottom of this lesson. Who else followed Jesus and why? It could be simply, I mean, if you need to talk about it, if there are any questions or anything, but it's pretty clear. People from all over were following Jesus. People who were afflicted, they were suffering from various diseases. They were demon-possessed. There were epileptics and paralytics. There were large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. But I think that you can skip that because we will be going to the Sermon on the Mount, which will be our next lesson.